This must have been a full moon weekend.
I am telling you.
I mean, you want to talk about the... Right.
Weird stuff happened today.
Like what?
I'm telling you. Now, I have the office in the back of my home, as you know. And what happened is I was in the office waiting for a customer to go by. And I'm putting away stuff in the... You know, I'm doing a little work and I'm walking. And all of a sudden, I hear my door open and I think it's my customer. But I didn't think they would be so rude as to not knock. What was in this woman with a cigarette at the back door? And she's going, oh, we were looking for the dog. I said, how would your dog open my door and come in? And she goes, like, Stephanie said it was okay. And I'm going, who's Stephanie?
Oh, my God.
And I guess they're looking for a dog that ran into my backyard.
Oh.
Yeah, but why does she want to open my door?
Well, without knocking. I mean, maybe she figures she took it in, you're giving it some... kibble or something, but I would knock.
I know. It was like the cigarette.
Tallulah Bankhead kind of a deal.
It was really odd. And then I closed the door and I said, wait a second, who the hell are you?
After you closed the door or did you...
All of a sudden I'm realizing, why is this woman, you know...
In your going through your backyard to open your... Well, not really.
Well,
it's
no,
her side.
I mean, she went into my side door, but why would you open the door? She was looking for the dog and I said, well, why are you opening a door?
Well, was your door like...
No.
Wait.
Was
it closed or unlocked or a jar?
It was shut.
Wow. Okay, it's a full...
And the only reason I know it was shut, because my guys who were working in the house yesterday went down to open the door for my customer, and they had left my door open for the last day and a half.
Oh.
Because
well,
I got home, you know, yesterday, and I was, like, exhausted.
Yeah. From the party thing, yeah.
And I went down, and I said, oh, my God, whoever left the house, you know, it was, like, an inch open.
Whoops.
And I closed it.
Yeah.
That's how I know I closed
it. Well, that's a weird, that's a little bit of a weird thing. And also you wanted to talk a little bit about the whole...
All these nooses.
What is the nuisance
of nooses.
Yeah, right.
Well, what I find hilarious about that,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, it shouldn't be, it's not, you know, a bad thing, but they're showing all of a sudden, they're wondering why, you know, I took my hands and it hits the mic and it's all bad.
It makes mic noise. It's
sorry, I'm sorry, America. Anyway, so... What happens is all of a sudden, the TV is going, oh, there's a proliferation of nooses on the morning news. Why are there all these nooses going up all over America? It's Halloween, and people put out things.
Oh, well.
They put it, yes, they people are always, you know, they always hang scarecrows from the trees to make it.
I don't know.
Yeah, no.
Suddenly this year.
No, all years.
Oh.
They don't do that in your neighborhood?
No. Shaving cream out the day after.
No. They have all these Halloween day, and the one house tries to outdo the other.
Yeah, well, yes, but
and now
they're nooses everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And not in, like, you know, police stations.
But these things are, like, I heard this on the news the other day. They called up this woman, a person hanging from the tree by a noose. And they went to her house, and they said, it's a Halloween decoration.
Oh,
it's not a racist thing. And now, you know, because her next-door neighbor called her racist and put it on these websites.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
And they're going, it's a Halloween decoration. It wasn't anything.
But, you know, if you had not mentioned, because this started, like, already in the end of September.
Yeah, no, it started with that those kids who sat under the tree.
Yes, the
Genesis. So that I understand. But they're getting, but now it's just proliferating too much, and now people are like, they're saying a noose, and all of a sudden you're racist. It's like, forget the Halloween decorations, girls.
I think people should probably, this particular season, come up with a different, pumpkins, come on, you know, you can do it.
I know, but you know, they think it is clever if you can.
It's not clever if you can't divorce it from, if
but
you're in
you
the neighborhood.
To, like, get over certain things, and that's one of the things that... That just this season,
that.
I mean, you know, if April, a news comes out, you go, oh, well, maybe that's, you know, racist. But right now, I don't think it's racist. It might be Halloween.
Depends where it's hung, man.
It depends
where it's hung.
At the Ku Klux Klan headquarters, maybe it's not a Halloween decoration.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, especially if over the years, and there had never been that kind of decoration
all the time
before.
In my neighborhood.
I mean, yeah, but in a police station. How many people hang?
No, we know
Halloween
that was a race.
Okay, well, there you go.
But I mean, now everyone's like really watching out for nooses. You know what I mean?
I guess I'm going to take the noose down that I hung in the studio.
Look, there's a pumpkin on a noose behind you.
Yeah, well, But it's a light-skinned pumpkin, so we know...
It's that, orange.
Right.
I don't know, we're hanging Indians now. Oh, maybe that's something against Indians.
They prefer to be called pumpkins of color. But this is the list. I started making a list of the insanity of this particular week. Of what change of season, near Halloween, maybe it was a full moon. I don't know what it was this week. Okay. First of all...
It was a full moon, by the way.
Was it? Okay. Maybe this explains it. Did you hear about the robo-cannon?
No.
Did you hear about this? It's not even funny. It's so sick. Because it's like the first scene in RoboCop. But this is for real. In South Africa, the soldiers were manning an electronic machine gun. And something short-circuited. And the machine gun turned around and killed 9 soldiers and wounded 14. It's like, literally, they completely missed whatever, an electronic, like, automatic digital gun.
I bet you it was someone who pressed the wrong button.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the way they're making these, that's why we still need humans behind these things. Yeah, by accident, by oops. And
it turned around and all of a sudden guns pointing at you.
Yeah, yeah, well, you saw, do you remember RoboCop when the thing went berserk?
Never saw the movie.
It's a good movie. Yeah, you know, especially to see in the theater. But
okay, rent it.
Okay, nutty thing. That's nutty number one. That's like the world going boop boop haywire. Number two, you know whose house the whose warehouse the FBI raided this week?
No.
Go figure. Take a wild guess. We don't have the time.
Jimmy Carter's.
No, but someone. Well, not equally whatever. David Copperfield.
Oh, yes.
The magician.
But I love the fact that they found stuff.
What?
They found $2 million in cash.
He's got it lying around.
Who
he works in the
warehouse.
But what were they looking? You know, I heard some rumors about things that were...
Drugs and stuff, wasn't it?
Drugs. I heard the SEX was a thing. Again, it's...
Sex?
Yeah.
You have to sell sex? You can't say it?
Well, it's a rumor. You know, I kind of like to say...
So, rumors we spell out...
I already said the word sodomy, so I have no trouble with saying... But I don't know what the whole deal is. I wonder if maybe there's $14 million in a trapdoor behind the $2 million that they were looking for. You know.
I think they were looking for the CASH.
I think they were... Or either that, or...
Who keeps $2 million of cash?
Someone who has $20 million of cash. You know? Or unless you really think... What, he keeps $2 million of cash around for drugs?
I don't know. Why is it in a warehouse? Don't you put your money in a bank? If you had $2 million, you wouldn't put it in a bank?
If I had $2 million, I'd put it in a Swiss bank. I wouldn't be here. Or I own this. No, I couldn't own this. Well, I have a consortium and own this station. So,
but I mean,
yeah, I know.
But who puts $2 million in there? And I like the fact that they find it and they take it.
Well, they confiscate it. I assume they didn't, quote-unquote, take it. Now, we only have one or two more minutes. You've talked about your lady friend, the nooses. I've got the robo-cannon, David Copperfield.
No lady friend, just someone in my backyard.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh,
what the hell is wrong with her? What is up with that?
No. Oh, my God, you went on a completely opposite today.
She's wrong on
she
this.
Got, no, she is. I think the stupid adoption people, when they have a contract with her, they own the dog she's just caring for. She probably didn't even read the paper. She went to adopt this dog. It didn't work out. She wanted to give it a good home. And then the people go, oh, you made a mistake. We're taking the dog back. And then they can't even appease her. She went on the air and begged. You know.
I don't understand, the one thing where I think the adoption agency went wrong is that all they had to do, in my opinion, is once they realized, she gave it to this woman she should not have,
yeah,
they can send someone over to that family, to the hairdresser, look around, make sure the whole place is puppy-proof and a decent home, and then say, okay, we give our approval, now she can keep the dog.
Right.
Why didn't they do that?
That I don't understand. And they already gave the dog away to someone.
That's brutal. That's just,
And that's horrible. And I think, honestly, and what kind of right do they have to own this dog for the rest of its life because they saved it?
Well, maybe there's a grace period of however
many. No, it said forever. They have the right to, they always own, they're only the temporary caretakers. I mean, and it's like leasing dogs to celebrities.
The moral of the story is go to a pound that is a kill shelter and save something. And they'll be happy
to
if you won't beat it to death, they'll give it to you.
I mean, really, I don't think, I'm sorry, but if you're adopting a dog, it means you're really going to take care of it. And I don't really believe that Ellen DeGeneres is going to, you know, be the next Michael Vick.
No, but like when we have our second dog, a dog that we love very much, what happened was he went to a family had him for a little bit, they gave it back to the pet store. And then the pet store couldn't really sell because it was getting older, I mean, for a sellable puppy. And then someone else took it. She couldn't take it and ended up giving it to us. Now, technically, I guess she should have brought it back to the pet store again. But since we know the pet store and we know her, it all worked out rather... Well, we didn't know her. The pet store
didn't own it at that point.
Actually, you know, you're right. She contacted the pet store and they sort of put us in touch with her.
Right.
So that's how that did work.
Because she probably wanted to return to the pet store. So the brother said, we don't want it.
Yeah, this dog's been back twice. But thank God we got it. We just love him.
But I'm telling you, it's crazy. That whole thing is nuts.
Just nutty kind of thing. I'm giving Jeff the motions because it's 11 o'clock already.
We're going to start our
Dave's Gone By. We didn't get to talk about the crazy guy who killed the director of all those Curious George cartoons.
Oh,
the
whole George Jim?
A while ago. He got life in prison, no parole. Ever. Ever.
Okay.
He stabbed and bludgeoned him 83 different ways. It was not
George,
really
I'm so curious. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, Lord. And let's face it, this was also the week that Joe Torre turned down a job for $5 million.
I would have done, too. They were just nasty. You don't... Oh, you did such a bad... Here's a decrease in salary, but we'll give you incentives. And what he said, he says, look, I managed this team for how long? Was it?
12 years.
12 years. And he goes, I got you the world to the playoffs every single year. You think I need an incentive to come to get to the playoffs again? I mean, it was just...
It was an insult, but at the same time, if he'd gotten them to the thing, he could have made $8 million.
He also... Yeah, but he also said... If they wanted me, if they wanted him to manage it, he would have been.
That was managing. A signal. That was kind of like, we want you, but it's time.
It wasn't
goodbye.
They wanted you. They wanted to appease the fans by offering him something.
Yeah, I mean, it was time for him.
Now they're going to say, "See, we offered him the job. He just didn't want it."
Yeah. Well, the Torre era is over, as is this episode of The Little Big Time on WGBB. But for gosh sakes, do not go away, because in 2 minutes, less than 2 minutes, we will be right back with the beginning and the middle and the end of Dave's Gone.
The end of Dave's Gone By is here?
Well, at 12:00-something, but only for this week. You know, it'll be back next week. So Dave's Gone By hasn't even started yet, but it's going to start right after this. Every Sunday night at 11 o'clock, you can hear music, humor, and talk. Dave makes you laugh, and he makes the time fly. 60 minutes of Dave's Gone By. Dave's Gone By, 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 Dave's Gone By. Since 2002, Dave Lefkowitz has hosted the coolest, nuttiest talk show on local radio, with sketches, commentary, and celebrity guests. Sunday nights at 11 on this station. 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. Yeah! Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, twirling around at night.
Well, there goes the day. Welcome everybody everywhere in the whole wide universe to the 243rd episode of Dave's Gone By. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, radio host, raconteur, with the best raconteur you've ever seen, and with my guest co-host, Jeffrey Goodman. How are you, Jeffrey?
Very good, except I do believe that Dolly Parton used to have the best
raconteur. Yeah, okay. Is she here? No. So I
Well, she's on tour.
Is she? Well, or she's working on her musical. That much we know. She does have a Broadway musical coming of in 9 to 5. Will be maybe in a season or two on Broadway.
Or 3 or 4 or 5.
No, I think that one's kind of moving quickly forward.
Is it?
Apparently. And she's really working pretty hard on it. So I don't know how we already got there from here to Dollywood.
That's the raconteur.
Have you ever heard the phrase Holly Bolly? I heard it this morning. It was
Have Holly Bolly Christmas.
No.
They do that in India.
Indian TV. They do this thing where they count down the top 20 Indian movie songs and Indian directors when you watch what should be Spanish channels, but Indian stuff rents them for a couple of hours.
Yes.
So we've heard of Bollywood, where they've got the musicals that are sort of based on and derivative, sort of, well, not in a negative way.
So what's this Holly Bolly?
Holly Bolly is where the directors are going back and forth to India and America. And since that whole cross-cultural thing. I like that.
They're doing the continental.
Yeah, the Holly Bolly continental, you know.
Yes.
I like that phrase, Holly Bolly. So that will be the word of the day. And you know what our other word of the day is?
God bless you?
Nope. That's a nice one, but that's three words. Nope. Gravitas.
Gravitas.
Gravitas, which was apparently Howard Stern used to make fun of this because Kiefer Sutherland mentioned that was one of his favorite words, gravitas. And he sounded so pompous while saying that Stern would rank on him. But we're doing gravitas tonight. You know why?
Because we have Jason Gra calling in.
Yes. Jason Gra, the singer, the actor, the delightful Jason Gra, is going to be part of the neighborhood. He was in Hello Mother, Hello Father, off-Broadway. And he was in... we seem to be feeding back on the our little camera that's supposed to be recording us. Oh, well, I guess we had a little problem.
It beeped. Maybe it didn't. Did you turn it on?
Oh, I'm sure you turned it on, Jeff. I'll deal with it during commercial. But anyway, Jason Gra, who is just one of the most delightful people you're ever going to meet.
And
a lovely
talented
singer. Very talented. What did you see him in? Do you remember some of the things that he was in? Stardust on Broadway.
Saw that.
Hello Mother, Hello Father. He was Drama Desk nominated for that. Olympus on My Mind. When
I saw that too.
Broadway.
Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah. Marvelous, charming. And he's doing a lot of cabaret stuff as well. And he's going to be at Birdland tomorrow night. He was there tonight, and he's going to be back there tomorrow. So go see Jason Gra. And if you don't know why you should, definitely stick around for the next half hour, 45 minutes or so at least, so you can find out about the lovely and delightful and talented Mr. Gra and his...
G-R-A-E.
G-R-A-A-E. He's got that double A thing going on. Gra.
It just makes him alphabetically before me, so there.
Oh, well, so there. Yes. No, it doesn't. What? No. Goodness. Yes. No.
No. He's still after me.
We're both too tired to do this, but we're not too tired to... laud and extol our sponsors.
MortgagesRock.com.
MortgagesRock.com. MortgagesRock.com. Because?
Because you can make money off of your friends' mortgages or your own mortgages.
I guess you can make some money off your own mortgage, but the main thing is you can learn how to be a mortgage broker and get commission. It's all there at the website, MortgagesRock.com. And...
Hewlett Minuteman Press,
which are the copy
Kings
of Broadway.
Broadway
in Hewlett, Long Island.
Across from Lohman's, next door to Lohman's Shoes.
And 10% for Dave's Gone By listeners. Just 10% off any job, big or small, at Hewlett Minuteman Press. And what do they have? What did they recently get?
A new color copier.
A wonderful color. I've slept with their color copier. That's how much I love it.
Really?
Yeah. And the
you're a very lonely man.
Well, my wife's away half the week, so I need to get some comfort. It's
every
warm.
Time it shifts to a new page, you're like that.
It's like, oh, collate me. But anyway, I don't even know what that means.
No. I'm collating.
What else?
But you know what really hurts when they staple the staple?
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't let with a fold. Well, fold can be good. Depends on the position. Oh. And then at the end, you get covered with ink. I don't want to know. What else? Performing Arts Insider, Theater Magazine.
The Bible of Broadway.
For more than 64 years, the Bible of Broadway, where people turn...
It's only been good for like the last 10.
Well, Richmond Shepherd ran it for a few years, and then I kind of work it with Richmond. We both work on
you
it.
You work it with Richmond,
yeah.
Too. And the color copy is the color copy of Lewis.
Actually, we don't really use the color copier for this one. We just use some colored paper. But it's a very, very respected, old, and very useful journal for people who really want to know what's going on, off, and off Broadway. Performing Arts Insider at the website, performingartsinsider.com.
And I hear you get a pretty good discount if they...
Fabulous discount. If you opt for the full season of Performing Arts Insider, that's 21 issues per year. Normally, that's $280 because it's a rather expensive journal, as Jeff chokes to death for our entertainment. For Dave's Gone By listeners, it's $199. Again, it's an expensive journal, but people do think it's worth it. So check it out at PerformingArtsInsider.com.
PerformingArts.com.
No, Insider. PerformingArtsInsider.com. PerformingArtsInsider. That doesn't quite work.
Yeah.
What about fancy schmancy balloons, except you don't have a website.
No.
Why don't you have a website?
I don't know. I'm just too tired.
Yeah, but not too tired to really do a great party. What do you do?
Oh, we decorate all sorts of parties, from first birthday parties to bat mitzvahs to weddings to communions to graduation parties to Halloween parties to anything you want. You've got a party, we'll decorate it. And if you've got a party and you don't have time to plan it, we'll do that for you, too.
Party planning with Jeff Goodman, Fancy Schmancy Balloons. What should people call? What's the number?
I don't know. What is the number?
516-797-3229.
Aren't you glad you got that memorized finally?
Actually, I have it on my piece of paper here. 516-797-3229.
So you should have it on a piece of paper, too, out there.
Will you give people a discount if they mention Dave's Gone Bad?
Absolutely.
Okay.
How much should I give it?
How's 20%?
20% this week.
20% off. So if really, if you're planning a party and you sign the contract this week, it could be big like a bat mitzvah. It can be small like an office party, a Halloween party. Fancy balloons. 516-797-3229. Okay, here's what we're doing on today's program.
What are we doing on today's program, Dave?
We have Inside Broadway. We're going to talk about Broadway news and what may be no Broadway news this coming week.
That's right. Oh, yes. I can tell you that. Can fill in on that. I know the fun that actually happened today.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Good. That'll be in a little while. But first, we got to talk to the wonderful and delightful and fun.
And talented.
Enough adjectives already for Jason Graw, whom we will hear from in the neighborhood right after this message.
Gravitas.
Minute Man, the superheroes of photocopying, printing and binding. Minute Man, no job too big or small. Minute Man, family run since 1975. Minute Man, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island, next to the new Lowman shoe store. Tell them they've sent you for 10% off. Minuteman, hero of our photocopying dreams. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and obviously anybody who listens to this show knows that aside from the humor and some of the music and the topical stuff that we do, very, very interested and in love with the theater on this program, and have a weekly Inside Broadway segment, and we try to bring in theater people and cabaret people as often as I can. Well, this particular person, our special guest tonight, has done both sides of that fence. He's done theater, and he's even a Drama Desk Award winner, or, and
Nominee.
Oops. Oh, he's just a nominee?
Should have won, damn it.
Yeah, no, he didn't win. I don't know if he'll even... Well, we'll continue. You're already on the phone, so we might as well keep you. But
the interview.
Also doing a lot of cabaret stuff. And the main thing is, if you know who he is, you know how to pronounce his name, G-R-A-A-E, which is pronounced Graw. Jason Graw. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Nice, Dave. Nice intro. Thank you.
Really wasn't a nice intro. I'm sorry. I could do better.
No, it's great. Actually, you gave me more, you know, more kind of credit than I'm worth.
Oh, that's right. I gave you an award that was
swiped
away from you. And for a show that was really quite enjoyable. He was in Hello, Mudda, Hello, Fada.
That's right.
Off-Broadway, and you got a nice little nod for that. You did win a 2006 Los Angeles Drama Critics Circle Award.
It's true.
What was that for?
You know what? It was for my presence, my just me being me.
Now, I have to say, you said in the pre-interview here that you heard of me. I mean, you know my name,
mm-hmm.
which could be from a couple of different places. But
I definitely have heard of your show.
Oh, wow.
But I also feel that you said, do you remember how you know me?
Okay.
And I said, did we sleep together?
And
then you said, no.
That's highly unlikely. Well, we didn't sleep. We did some other stuff. No, I'm kidding. First of all, I'm amazed that you know of my show. I think that's delightful. I'm thrilled.
Well, I've had some friends on it, like Christine Petty.
Oh, yes.
Very good friend of mine.
She was delightful.
Yeah. And there was somebody else I know, but I can't remember.
Well, I'm so glad that the word is getting around about the program. But and
I
you may
the
have
other guests that you have had on here I knew, too.
Like Fibish Finkel. And I know you slept with him, so that's kind of a... No, I kid. You may have heard of me because for about 5 years I also was the chief writer and editor of Playbill, the website.
Ah,
so I don't make much of that because I have issues, but you've probably read my stuff or something like that.
Absolutely.
But that's not where you really first know me from.
Okay.
And it's where I first know you from. When you were just a little springling of an actor. I don't even know if that word is correct or exists. And what was your first musical that you did?
My first musical in New York was Godspell.
Oh, what year was that?
At Equity Library Theater in 1981.
Okay, and where were you before that?
Before that, let's see, I did...
this is beyond thinking of me now. Believe it or not, we're actually shifting the conversation back to you. I rarely do that. Usually the show is about me, but in this particular case,
okay,
I'm
nice
winding
up. It's nice of you to share the limelight just a little bit, Dave.
Just a little, yeah.
Well, I went to school at Cincinnati Conservatory of Music, and then I came to New York after that.
So you didn't have a theater background, you had a musical background then?
Well, it was a musical theater background, Dave.
Oh, well.
You know, at first I was an oboe major at school at SMU in Dallas.
You were an oboe major? I've never heard of it. Wow.
It's true. And I hated my oboe teacher, and I hated making the reeds. And you have to sit, and, you know, oboists have to make their own reeds. Clarinetists don't have to. And as soon as some do, some don't.
How do you make a reed? What, do you go to, like, a head shop and you get rolling papers? And
if it was only that fun, I'd still be an oboist.
But
no, sadly, you do have to get little rolling papers for or little cigarette papers or something to once the reed is made to test it out. But no, you have to send away for all this stuff. You have to say they ship you cane, and they ship you these little corks.
Oh,
and these little piping things, and thread, and a special kind of thread, and you sit there and wrap these little reeds, and they say that for every 20 reeds that you wrap for an oboe reed, one is actually playable.
Oh, for good.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you can imagine this did not sit well for me. Like after orchestra and band practice at SMU, my first year in Dallas, Texas, and the whole like band would go out afterwards for beers, and I had to go back to my dorm room to make reeds. I didn't think so.
Well, reading is fundamental, you know, so thank you very much. So you gave up the oboe quick, didn't you?
I did. I gave it up really quick, and I transferred to Cincinnati, actually where I was going to double major in oboe and musical theater, but my oboe teacher that I hated from SMU transferred to Cincinnati the same year I transferred.
Oh, no.
So I took that as a sign to put down the oboe and pick up the score to Hello, Dolly.
Okay.
So I became a musical theater major.
And did you ever play Dolly Levi? Or?
I haven't yet. I
can see you being Cornelius. You know, the kid, the young...
Barnaby?
Yeah.
I auditioned for Barnaby, you know, when I got to New York, and that was one of my first auditions, and Kevin Wright beat me out of it.
Who did? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Kevin Wright was his name. I was very bitter about it, and now I hear Kevin's teaching school in Ohio.
And you're still
talking to Dave.
You're still there, you know. And you're,
I'm still here.
You're still here. Now we go back to 1981, and you were doing, as you said, Godspell.
Right.
And then after Godspell, what did you do?
I did a show at Goodspeed Opera House.
All right.
Bloomer Girl.
Okay. Were you the Bloomer Girl? No, I'm kidding.
I was definitely not. And then, I think this might be what you're getting at.
Yes.
I did, sadly, do Black Patent Leather Shoes Really Reflect Up.
Why sadly?
Well, it didn't last very long.
Oh, okay. But it was Broadway, wasn't it?
It was my Broadway debut.
Uh-huh.
And that part was really exciting. Is this how we know each other?
Nope. You're close. But no, it wasn't a flop. We know each other from a hit.
Oh. Okay.
Wow, you really... I thought I was one of the more memorable characters in people's lives, and this is such a depressing moment for me.
Well,
not that you're depressing for me. You're absolutely delightful. And I remembered that, too. I remember of all the folks involved in the whole process of a show that you haven't mentioned yet.
Okay.
You were one of the most cheerful and sweet and nice folks, aside from talent.
It had to be Snoopy.
No, it's not Snoopy. And who'd you play, Snoopy?
Yeah.
No, well, I can see you with Snoopy.
Okay.
Well, so this is a good way of telling all the folks what you've been in, by the way.
Wow, but it's a little probably mundane. Wait a sec. So, I'm just trying to think. Crosstown Bus?
Crosstown. I don't know, there was a show called Crosstown Bus.
Okay, well, I took it once.
Okay.
I took it and had a great time. I used the transfer. I did everything properly.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was a hit.
Think in terms of the mid-1980s.
Okay, the mid-1980s. Okay, I did a show at the WPA Feather Top, and, which I loved. And Just So?
No, you're just so wrong about that. No, nope, okay. That's not how you know me.
Now we're getting into the mid-80s.
Yes, yes, like 84, 85, 86, 87.
Okay, Stardust?
No, but I did see you in that on Broadway.
Okay.
And that was also a short-lived, it was a tribute to, was it Van Heusen? Who was the,
Mitchell Parrish.
Mitchell Parrish, sorry.
Who wrote Stardust and you know, Stars Fell in Alabama and Moonlight Serenade and all those things. It was a great, it was like a huge hit off Broadway. And then, we moved it to Broadway and it wasn't a huge hit. But, you know, I think we got 3 months of work out.
Okay.
Boy, Dave, you've stumped me.
The reason I did this, and it's also not like I'm trying to dip into some of the real weird, obscure, and good speedy things. I mean, obviously Stardust was on Broadway and Leather Shoes, but I thought this was one of the, this would be right up there with the hits that you remember.
Olympus on My Mind.
Thank you.
Okay.
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 Took us only, what was it, 10 minutes so far?
Well, Olympus on My Mind was a great experience.
Well, I'm glad it was.
I loved it. It was actually kind of my first hit show that I was ever in.
Exactly, dude.
Okay.
Did you move with it to Broadway, or were you just in the off-Broadway?
Well, I was in the off-off-Broadway, and then I moved with it to off-Broadway.
Okay.
At Broadway prices. No, what did they call it? Broadway at off-Broadway prices.
That's right.
Now, what did you do on it?
I believe it or not, and I was completely, well, the word would not be miscast, misplaced, but I was the box office kid, the sort of box office guy who was selling tickets on the phone, seating people, and trying to keep people cool in a non-air-conditioned theater in the middle of July. And we were feeding them popsicles and like running the air conditioner in intermission because we had to turn it off during the show because it was too loud and drowning everything out.
Are you shorter than me?
This is the one question you want to ask. Am I shorter? Yes. I'm shorter than a lot of people.
Okay. And were you manning the bar as well?
We had a bar? Well, yes, yes. It was a non-alcoholic bar. I had to get soda. We used to go to the
Nazarene Church.
No, it was at the Actors Playhouse on 120 West 28th Street.
Oh, at the Actors Outlet.
Outlet, excuse me.
You weren't at the Lambs.
No, I didn't transfer with it to the Lambs.
You know, I kind of had an out-of-body experience at the Actors Outlet. It was a really peculiar experience.
Why?
Well, you know, we did the workshop of Olympus on My Mind. It was called Heaven on Earth.
Okay.
Remember that?
Yeah, well, that was one of the main songs in the show.
Yeah, Heaven on Earth, Heaven on Earth. And we did a workshop of it, and it's like, it was not a great hit. Then they rewrote the whole thing. We did all these backers auditions, and they wrote a character for Faith Prince in it. And they kind of added this subplot of this girlfriend, non-talented girlfriend of the producer of Olympus on My Mind. And they added this funny character, and all of a sudden the show just, like, came to life.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you. I lost you there for a minute.
Oh, you lost me?
Yeah. All of a sudden the show what?
Oh, all of a sudden the show came to life. Once they added the character for Faith Prince, it went great. And but we were so kind of convinced that the show was going to be a turkey, so it was a very kind of distressing experience, like the rehearsals, and we didn't know if her character was going to work, and nobody kind of knew. And then all of a sudden we opened, and it was just this big hit, and it was really exciting.
Yeah.
Really exciting. How could I forget you?
Well, it was a good, you don't even remember me now. That's what's good.
Well, I'm sure that I will. But no, we weren't there very long, and I think I was making like $1.50 a week.
Making $1.25 or something. Like that. Anyway, it was kind of, you know, people were, as you said, people expected it to be a flop, so maybe that's why the vibe was not good the reviews came out, and then suddenly, you know, people started showing up, and it was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And even then, the vibes weren't good, but probably got a lot better when it transferred.
Well, it did, because then we were making, I think, you know, then we started making like $600 a week or something, which, you know, for me, it was $1 million a week at that point. But I remember one day I was going to work, it was during the previews, and I was going to work down on 28th Street, and there were all, do you remember this? There were all these fire trucks on 28th Street, and I was praying that the theater had burnt down.
Oh, my God!
It was that tough an experience. That was really, it was a very tough experience.
Well, I felt like I was, like, in the middle of it. I was so shielded from whatever.
Well, see?
Yeah.
I'm glad you escaped it all. And but then, you know, then it opened, and then once it was a hit, it was great. Then we moved to the Lambs. It was very exciting. We were all making money. Everybody felt good about their lives, and it was fun to go work. I love the Lambs Theater. It was such a great place. But then the kind of scandalous thing was that, you know, it was also a Nazarene church. And it was Nazarene, right? I think it was Nazarene.
Something like that. It's a tame show, though.
It was, well, but it said there was a big quote underneath, you know, when you walked into the theater. And it said, it was like hanging from the marquee. It said, "Naughty Musical Comedy Fun, New York Times."
Yeah.
And there was actually a big article about how they were all praying that our show would close because they thought this was so risque that we were having kind of this musical theater sex romp at this, you know, sacred church. So they were disappointed. You know, I think the show ran like 9 months there or something like that.
Well, yeah, that's when you get in bed with a whatever. I mean, I'm married now, and my wife has very strong issues about where she's going to be teaching. She just got her PhD.
Mm.
And there are certain universities of a Catholic or a Christian bent that she has very serious reservations about if she were ever to go to teach there, because she could only speak her mind to some extent about certain issues.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't want to be censored as a teacher. She doesn't feel she should be.
Yeah.
But if you go to any school with a saint before its name, you know, or a father something before his name.
Yeah, it's pretty specific.
Yeah, the rules are kind of tight. Anyway, that's what I wanted to get to about the whole Olympus on My Mind thing. So that's where we
reunited.
Met a few times. Now, where were you since then? I mean, I kind of know. But then you started really getting into the cabaret scene just as much as the theater scene.
Well, yeah. You know, I actually really got into the... I started doing shows at Rainbow and Stars. Remember all those great shows they did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Steve Paul and... Oh, awful. I'm having a moment. A midlife moment. What was his name? Greg something. Anyway, they...
Burge? Greg Burge, maybe? Or no?
No, but I loved him. No, he was a producer. And the two of them produced these reviews at Rainbow and Stars. And I did one of the first ones. It was a Rodgers and Hart show with Elaine Stritch,
ooh,
Margaret Whiting, and Judy Kuhn.
Holy cow!
I know, and I was the referee. And
wait. All right, now, you can't just say that and leave it there. Was it tense backstage, or were they all really lovable and supportive?
Well, I won't say it was warm and cuddly.
Okay.
The rehearsal period, but once we opened, and everybody saw that this show was like something really spectacular, it was truly one of the greatest experiences in my life.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, it was to work with those three women, you know, Margaret Whiting singing Bewitched was, you know, it was flawless. I mean, you know, she no one does that style these days, and she owns it, and it was just phenomenal to get to see that every night, and to see Elaine Stritch, and I had a duet with her. We sang a song from On Your Toes, and she did this version of 10 Cents a Dance, like she was in an insane asylum or something. And
oh.
it was wild. But and Judy Kuhn and I just kind of held on to each other for dear life. But it was an incredible experience. You felt like you were at a party of Cole Porter's house or something in the 40s, you know?
Wow.
And it was really great. And everybody was very well behaved and very decent, and you know, it was a great experience. And then I did another one with Kay Ballard. I did an Irving Berlin show with Kay and Liz Calloway and Ron Raines, and we just had...
Well, Ron Raines, again, an Olympus on My Mind alumnus, so there
yes,
you go.
That's right. And my dad. Now he's a soap star.
Yeah.
What is it that we're living for? Applause, applause. Nothing I know brings on the globe like sweet applause. You're thinking you're through, that nobody cares. then suddenly you hear it starting. Then somehow you're in charge again, and it's a ball. Trumpets all sing, life seems to swing, and you're the king of it all, 'cause you've had a taste of the sound that says love. Applause, applause, applause.
Why, look who's here, it's Al Jolson.
It makes you feel brand new again. Applause, applause.
Why, it's Tallulah.
Nothing in town, darling. Brings out us down. Like no applause, it drives me crazy. Why, it's Judy.
You're catching the flu. Your bank account's bare. You're lonely and blue.
What's that like, though?
Then you hear it.
Thank you.
Bobby Darin.
And all at once you know again what life is for. Cares disappear soon as you hear that happy audience roar.
Johnny Mathis.
Had a taste of the sound that says love.
Sam Harris.
Applause, applause, applause.
Some will say,
c'est long, and you treat. Le clap, le clap. Trumpets all sing, life seems to swing a back, and you're the king of it all. Had a taste of the sound that says love. Applause, 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 applause,
out there in Radio Land. This is Jason Graw. Perhaps you've heard of me. I'm a famous cabaret singer, even though that's a bit of an oxymoron. But I am not a moron, and I'm telling you to tune in to WGBB Dave's Gone By. Tune in now.
In retrospect, do you prefer doing theater or cabaret, or do you really like mixing them up?
I really do like mixing them up. I have to say, you know, I live in Los Angeles now, and, you know, I've been doing a lot of cabaret concert work.
Right.
And I've been doing a lot of TV out here, which is great, fun, and I like the residual checks a lot. I am getting a little spoiled about, like, you know, this summer I had to do 8 shows a week, and it was like, God, this is a hard schedule. You know, we did, like, one of those Saturdays, 2 shows on Saturday, and then 2 shows on Sunday. I thought, I did this for 15 years, you know. And I still love doing it, and I do enjoy in the theater that you don't have to drum up your own business and worry about, you know, people coming there, and you can blame the material if it doesn't go well. You know, there are certain definite advantages to being in the theater.
Now, when you said that you're, amazingly enough, living in L.A., your career then is also doing, I mean, this I had no idea about this until I Wikipedia'd you or wherever your bio was, but you are apparently the Lucky Charms leprechaun.
Well, Dave, I was.
Oh, no!
Yes.
You aged out of leprechauniness?
I did not age out of it.
Well, what happened?
I definitely did not age out of it. I don't think one does age out of leprechaunism, except from the guy that did it. And then I replaced him. It was the same guy for 35 years or something.
Well, Arnold Stang did the B for Cheerios for God knows, like 5 decades or something. Until finally,
he never has to work again.
Yeah, you know, pretty much. Well, especially in his 90s, I think, so he ain't gonna. So, but you were the luck. Can you
yes,
say
I was.
Can you say the thing, the magically delicious or whatever you used to say, in your way?
Let me eat magical marshmallow shape. It's magically delicious. Thank
Bravo.
You. Thank you both. Yeah.
That was actually a better performance than I've ever seen you giving anything. I'm moved. I'm touched. And that doesn't denigrate your other performances. It just means that's how special that really was.
I don't know, Dave. You just really inspire me to do my best work. Something about you.
So
you know, what happened was I got the job in New York, And then I was doing The Voice in New York, and it was great because there were like 4 commercials a year because they would keep introducing a new shape, you know. Keep the kids interested in the new shape. So I did inaugurate the rainbow and the pot of gold shape. And anyway, then I moved to L.A., and I would do my part in L.A., and the kids were in New York. They would phone patch me in.
Uh-huh.
So all the clients, the director, the kids were all in the studio in New York, and then I was in L.A., and I would do my part there, and it was like crazy, the miracle of modern science.
Absolutely.
And then a whole new crew came in, and they wanted me to fly back to New York to do the gigs, and I was doing the Los Angeles production of Ragtime out here for a year, and I couldn't fly back, so I had to let Lucky go.
Oh.
It was an unlucky time of my life, and now I only eat Trix.
I hope you mean the cereal, but you know...
I really do.
Well, we only have about a minute left with the wonderful Jason Grah, and by the way, you are immediately and automatically invited to return. There's no question about
Thank
that.
Thank you. It was just the tip of the iceberg, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. But a hilarious and marvelous tip. It's like the foreskin of the iceberg, as a matter of fact. Which has already made me forget my last question.
Oh, my God.
Well, now you're currently...
I'm still so close to you.
You're going to be at Birdland.
Yes.
On October... Oh, sorry?
Tweet, tweet.
Tweet, tweet. Birdland.
Yes.
And actually,
I'm not a jazz singer.
But you'll do your usual cabaret. What are some of the songs that you're doing in your show now?
Well, I'm doing, yes, I'll be at Birdland, what is it, the 21st and 22nd of October.
Correct.
And, which is a week from tonight and tomorrow, actually. And I am going to be, this is my show called Grah's Anatomy.
Uh-huh. I get it. You've also done Coup de Grah, and what else have you done with them?
Coup de Grah, Grah's Anatomy, and this is my third, actually. The other one was An Evening of Self-Indulgence.
Well, the other one, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. It was what?
An Evening of Self-Indulgence.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you. And it's really, that's what a cabaret act really is, isn't it?
Pretty much.
But,
and people, if you see the cover on the CD that they sent me, there's one that you did at the Singer Grill. I have that one at home. And then the press people, I think Susan Schulman was kind enough to send me the CD of one of your covers. And you were at the gym for about a year before that cover, I assume.
No, I was just born that way, Dave. There's a lot of airbrushing, actually.
If you want to see Jason Grah airbrushed in a very interesting manner, well, place. What's the name of that
man
CD?
Man being the operative word.
Well, yeah. What's the name of that CD? I don't have it in front of me, so.
You're never fully dressed without a smile.
And does that lead us to a place where people can buy that? Like, do you have a website and stuff?
I do have a website, although it's funny, it doesn't connect into my view. It's on, I don't, you have to go to Finsworth Alley. It was recorded on Barrett Saraband. I don't know, I think it's still on Amazon, and if you go to the FinsworthAlley.com or something, it's available there.
Very cool. And of course, people can go see Jason at Birdland. Yeah, you were going to say some of the songs that you were...
Oh, yes, well, I'm doing songs by John Bacchino.
Mm-hmm.
And who I just think is a miracle of modern composing, and Jerry Herman, because I've been spending a lot of time with Jerry Herman these days, so I'm got some stories about him, and I'm singing a song from the Grand Tour.
How is Jerry doing, by the way?
He's doing really well. We were just at the Kennedy Center, but 2 weeks ago, he's really doing quite well. And there's a documentary that's coming out on PBS in the winter. Called Words and Music, and it's absolutely spectacular, and not just because I'm in it.
Okay.
It's just one of those things where it's just like he speaks so candidly, and there's all this amazing footage from his old shows, and it's so thrilling to hear. You really do wish it would just go on for 5 hours.
Wow.
So much information.
But enough about Jerry Herman. Let's get back to what this interview is about.
Oh,
me.
That's right. How we know each other.
Well, I think we've definitely traversed that. What else are you doing besides the cabaret stuff? And is there some place we can catch you on TV, or are you going to be rehearsing for a show?
Well, I've been doing a lot of operas the last
opera.
Couple of years. So there's just, I have nothing coming up on TV except for reruns. I did 3 episodes on 6 Feet Under, which was like, you know, really quite exciting, because I don't know if you love that show, but...
Yeah, I saw the whole thing from, like, renting it from the library, because I didn't catch it on the regular thing. So which character were you? Gosh.
Oh, thanks for remembering me.
Yeah, well, it was a few months ago when I watched it.
Okay. Maybe you were tipping the brewski a little bit?
Probably. That was a little too many O'Doulses.
They really have a kick, don't they?
Yeah, we're 15 of them. So, but wait, you were in a corpse then, because you were on three episodes. What were you?
Yeah, I was, do you remember when David, Michael C. Hall, joined the Los Angeles Gay Men's Chorus?
Right, yes, you were in that group, I remember.
I was the conductor. I played Dennis, who was the conductor of the Gay Men's Chorus. A little pissy, and a little over the top, but I think I can tap into those emotions pretty easily.
That's great. Well, I'm sorry, a couple of things are going on in the studio, which means that I have to let you go, Jason.
Well, I'm so glad that you held on to me in the first place.
Aww.
Let me go.
It's been an absolute pleasure and an absolute joy. And as I said, seriously, because we really did just scratch the foreskin of the iceberg. So thank you.
Saying foreskin, it's just so, I don't know, it's just really unnerving and yet slightly provocative.
Well, there you go. That's the nature of this program. Jason Graf, thanks so much for being in the Daverhood.
Thank you for having me in the Daverhood.
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Performing Arts Insider, theater magazine, the great Bible of Broadway for 64 and almost 65 years.
It's time for it to retire.
I think not. Not for years and years and years. In fact, we're keeping it going. It's bigger and better than ever, really. Really is. The magazine doesn't
it's
even look
just resemble. Voluminous.
Well, yeah, it was. The last issues were 68 pages, I think, or 60. Please remind me, I have a copy for you today.
Because okay. I pay for it.
Well, you're a subscriber, thank you very much. Why? Because you use it. Because Performing Arts Insider tells you what you need to know about the New York theater scene, Jeff Goodman. Anyway, this is Jeff Goodman with me, Dave Lefkowitz, here on Dave's Gone By, doing the Inside Broadway segment, all about what's happening on the stages.
Dave, what's happening on the stages of Broadway these days?
Well, tell you what, let's go through all the Littler stuff, and then we'll discuss the big...
Littler? Like Hitler?
No, well, we don't have any Mel Brooks news this week, so it's not going to be Young Frankenstein or producer's news. So no Hitler news this week as far as Broadway is concerned. However...
I didn't know Hitler made an appearance in Young Frankenstein.
No, he doesn't, does he?
That's Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. Okay. Anyway, let's see. Just in case you thought Broadway wasn't gay enough, who's going to be joining Spamalot?
Oh, well, he's not gay.
Yeah, okay, sure. Okay. Clay Aiken. From
the Claymates are going to be seeing it now.
Oh, is that what they call themselves, the Claymates?
Yeah.
Oh, for crying out loud. Well, anyway, he will play Sir Robin, the very, very brave and
brave,
bold Sir Robin, who personally wet himself at the Battle of Baden Hill. He starts in January on Broadway in Spamalot. Also, off-Broadway...
As if that weren't gay enough.
Well, this is someone who kind of reversed the old cliche of ballet people being gay, because you're not going to find someone more macho and good with women than Mikhail Baryshnikov has been. And he's going to be in four Samuel Beckett one-act plays.
Really?
Directed by Joanne Acolytis. And they're going to be done at New York Theatre Workshop starting in early December.
I love the New York Theatre Workshop.
I don't.
I do.
And sometimes they do some interesting and good work, and sometimes I'm a little, you know, like, what the
that's
hell are they
Rent
doing?
Started.
That's where what?
Rent started.
Oh, that's why you love New York. That was a long time ago.
I love a lot of stuff that comes out of there.
What have you seen recently? Honestly.
Recently, the past couple of years, nothing. But before that, I've seen... I don't remember the names of the shows, but they're always really interesting. Well,
I like when they had five lesbian brothers there.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of their home for a bit, and they did very, very good work.
Well, the thing I like about New York Theatre Workshop is that they don't just produce plays. They let the plays develop.
True.
You know, they really develop it from idea to... from yeah. germ to...
Yeah, what really broke it for me with them about 2 years ago is they were the ones who were initially going to produce My Name is Rachel Corey, about
yes.
that girl who was Israeli Jewish and then went to Israel and got hooked on the Palestinian cause and then got flattened by an Israeli steamroller, good for her. So, and they got all these kinds of hate letters and they ended up not doing the play. Somebody else did. The other producers stepped in. Bastards. So, And then New York Theater Workshop decided to make up for it by doing Palestinian plays last season or doing a couple of Arab things. I'm like, the hell with them. But hey, I'm publicizing them. Baryshnikov's going to be there. You know who's co-starring in the Beckett plays? Karen Kandel.
Who the heck is
brilliant
Karen Kandel?
Actress. She was in the Peter and Wendy that was done a few times. They keep bringing it back to New York because it's so marvelous of that troupe. Oh, what is the Mabu Mines?
Oh,
this beautiful thing called Peter and Wendy. She plays the mother. She plays Peter. She plays all the characters. And it was a performance bordering on genius. It was magnificent.
Oh, okay.
So she's fine actress. Anyway.
And I remember Baryshnikov did Metamorphosis
on Broadway. Yeah. So he's trying to expand his range a little
good
bit.
Good for him.
And this is, again, early December to January 20th at New York Theater Workshop off-Broadway for Samuel
West
Beckett
fourth.
Plays.
West 4th, isn't it?
East
4th.
All the way east, near La Mama.
Right across from La Mama, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Also, now, going back to Broadway for some Broadway news. The musical is coming back. The Man Who Gave Us Wicked, before he did Wicked,
many years.
They're bringing back Godspell in summer 2008. Stephen Schwartz is a nice Jewish boy, his first claim to fame. This was before Pippin, right?
Yes.
So this is his really first big show.
Before he had magic to do.
Right, exactly. Daniel Goldstein
he was
directed
working
the
it day
show.
By day.
Yeah. He directed the show at Paper Mill Playhouse last year, and so they brought him in. He apparently did a really interesting version.
And since Paper Mill Playhouse almost went bankrupt doing it, they said, let's bring it to Broadway.
Children Have Eaten probably helped bankrupt them, not this one. Anyway, the show first played in 1976 as a transfer from off-Broadway. It moved to Broadway. It was a big hit. Did you know that the original Toronto version of Godspell, listen to who was in this cast. Because you know, I think of it as a goofy gospel music with some good numbers, like a pre or maybe post Jesus Christ Superstar.
Well, my friend Linda Thigpen was in it.
In the Toronto.
I don't know if she was in on Broadway.
Listen to the company of Godspell: Eugene Levy, Andrea Martin, Gilda Radner.
It's like
Dave Thomas and Martin Short. It was all the Second City people.
It was
a couple of Saturday Night Livers.
No, it was not the Second City people. Toronto Second City.
And Gilda Radner. I mean, I was like, whoa, I would have liked to have seen. No wonder it was a hit.
Yeah.
Because the movie, I like, okay, what the hell is it?
Well, that was a terrible movie.
So, have you seen the show?
Yes.
Is it a good...
I don't enjoy it, though. So I'm not a big fan of Godspell.
Oh.
But a lot of people love it.
So maybe this one will be the...
Well, you know what it is.
It's the same reason I don't like
Superstar. Being Jewish, it's not. It doesn't get to the heart
is
of me.
Is that it? Really? Is that
it's
it?
Very religious. Oh, yeah.
What about... Well, do you have that problem with Joseph and the Amazing... Because that's First Testament. We can relate to that one.
No, I am fine with that.
See, Jesus Christ Superstar is great music. That is a really...
I like it, but it's like I'm not, like, moved by it that much, you know.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be moved by Jesus dying on the cross either.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
But Godspell is far more annoying to me than Jesus Christ Superstar.
Okay.
And I'm not a big fan of Superstar either.
Well, we'll see if Daniel Goldstein, the director, will make the difference for this upcoming Godspell in the summer of 2008. And then we have a Broadway show that's opening this coming week on Thursday. It's a revival of an off-Broadway show, its first appearance on Broadway, the one-man show, A Bronx Tale, Chaz Palminteri's solo that made his career. First he did it off-Broadway, huge hit. Robert De Niro saw it, and, because he had gotten offers. I saw a commentary on TV talking about this, and he's like, every studio wanted it,
but they didn't want to cast him in it.
Right. And then Robert De Niro said, it's your story, you gotta appear in it. And De Niro helped produce it. And the movie helped make Palminteri's career as an actor, and he's been doing it ever since. So now he's going back to drawing board.
His roots.
Broadway's Walter Kerr Theater, directed by Jerry Zaks, and opening October 25th, A Bronx Tale.
And it's a very limited engagement, so get your tickets now.
Yeah.
It has been, because something else is going into the Walter Kerr.
Yeah, I don't remember why. It might be the musical... The William Finn or
honestly, I forgot, but it's booked for the spring.
Okay. Also, we have a couple of people died this week. We're going to talk about two of them a little later on, but we do have to mention Deborah Carr, who died...
From here to eternity.
Yeah, October 16, 2007. And more importantly for us, for Inside Broadway people, she was Anna in the movie version of The King and I. She died at age...
But she didn't sing it. She didn't sing it.
That was Barney Nixon, who also did My Fair Lady dubbing. She died at age 86 after suffering from Parkinson's disease. Yes, she was the girl kissing Burt Lancaster, the famous kiss in From Here to Eternity. And she was nominated for an Oscar 6 times, never won, until they gave her an honorary Oscar in 1994. She was born in Scotland, and she became a ballerina, but then decided to switch to acting when she was in the United Kingdom. And she was in Night of the Iguana with Richard Burton.
Really?
On Broadway, and Tea and Sympathy and Seascape on Broadway. So
she was in Seascape?
Yeah. I don't know if she was the first...
It had to be, because they only, I mean, the first run was very short with Frank Langella, and then the second one was just recently.
Yeah.
So she had to be the original on Seascape.
Yeah, I should check the Broadway database for that. But anyway, that's, so farewell to Deborah Carr.
Bye, Debbie.
Bye, Debbie.
See you later.
We may have to be saying farewell for at least a period of little time to Broadway musicals.
Well, I can give you an update on this.
Please. Well, first, before you update, tell the situation, and then give the update.
You tell the situation.
Situation is...
You want to know about the situation so bad?
Well, the past 3 weeks, as the newspapers have reported, Broadway producers and the stagehands, you know, the guys who put it all together...
Putting it together, bit by bit.
That's what they do. They move things around. They get the job done so that the show can go on. Well... They've been fighting and feuding over contracts that are expired.
They just haven't had a contract for a while.
Yeah.
And they want to... They're fighting over job security, basically. That's the big sticking point. So, you know, the producers want... The producers want to hire as many as they want, and the union wants them to hire only what they say.
Well, the union wants people, even if they're not working, to be hired. I still do not understand that.
Yeah.
I say just raise the wage of people who are working, give them better benefits, you know, pay people not to work.
Well, they also want people to work overtime. They also are saying they want people to work a certain number of people, and they make them work so few people, so they work overtime and they make more money, you know?
Yeah. Also, I mean, apparently stagehands make a pretty good living.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, I didn't realize they could make almost 6 figures or more. So, you know, that was a surprise to me. Anyway, so what is the latest?
So the latest is they did vote for a strike, but they haven't set a date yet. But the union has been hinting around the holidays.
Oh, so it won't necessarily be this week. It might be close
to
Thanksgiving
it's not this week, for sure.
Oh,
So the shows will go on this week.
Yeah.
But the union voted, and they voted for a strike, but they didn't have a specific date set. So they'll strike, they just don't know when.
Well, yeah, but also the producers apparently are, this week is when the producers are going to say, you know what,
well, the needle end is already game in.
To whom?
To the union. The needle end has agreed to the contracts. They agreed... to not abide by what the League of Theaters and Producers would say on this issue.
So if there is, you know, they'll stand...
If there is a strike, most likely not against Nederland or Theaters.
Okay.
Or producers or whatever.
Right. Well, so then they are safe from it, but they're... Well, now
as are the not-for-profit things, like Roundabout and...
Right. And are non-musicals affected?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, so those would be... Roundabout and Manhattan Theater Club. So anything at the Biltmore, so what are those shows that Pete Malian would not be affected?
Isn't the one about the stamp collecting women?
Yeah, Mauritius would not be affected. Wow, people didn't see Mauritius now.
they're all going, go on strike already. We could fill back our house.
Yeah, it would be a boon for those few theaters that really need a little
Studio 54 for the Ritz.
Oh yeah, that'd probably go up to like 90-100%, and it's a good show, so people should see that.
Excellent show.
So,
told you so.
So, do you think there's going to be a strike, or are they going to? It's not going to be till the holidays. Do you think?
I think they're really going to push it to the holidays, and then they may strike, but it's going to be very short. I can't imagine the producers are going to want to go dark over the holidays.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the producers, meaning the actual producer with a small p, let alone.
Well, the producers on Broadway is closed.
Yeah, that's right. So. They're on strike for a long, long time. And I'm in the middle of, like, changing a disc here, so I'm half listening and half, like,
Which well, isn't that. They're not here. They're listening to you.
Yeah, that's
they
true.
Think you're paying 100% attention to them.
I'm focused.
But obviously, it's I who only love our listeners, not you.
Oh, stop that. Well, anyway, it is midnight on WGBB AM 1240, WGBB Freeport.
Which means it's almost gospel time.
That's right, but we have to wrap up the show first. So let's come out of Inside Broadway, do a little wrap-up stuff. And then we
will. Can we? I think you should announce the other two people who passed away.
Well, we're going to do that in the wrap up.
Okay. Thing.
So let's get through the commercials, and we'll as I said,
we'll wrap it up.
Yeah. We've just been Inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. We are back with the closing moments of Dave's Gone By.
Oh, it's always sad, the closing moments.
I know. But we try to extend them a little bit so we can get all our stuff in. Let's very quickly thank our sponsors. Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway.
Hewlett Minuteman Press.
Which are the copy kings of Broadway. And 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners on any copy job.
And right across from Lohman's and next door to Lohman's Shoes.
Yeah, you're almost doing more of a commercial for Lohman's than you are for Hewlett Minuteman Press. So everybody, go to Minuteman Press for all your copies and bindings and
your
printing
copy
jobs.
Needs.
Yeah. Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party needs.
And there was a special discount this week, but I forgot what it
20%.
Was.
20%. Okay. 20% for your party, for your balloons, your decorations, your centerpieces. Call Jeff at 516-797-3229.
Was that 516-797-3229?
And you know what? While we're talking, get out a pen and paper, because we're going to be telling you, we always do this at the end of the show. We tell you a whole bunch of stuff, and we're throwing it out at you. Get your pen and paper ready so that you know.
Or press record on your stereophonic.
Oh, your iPod thingy, yeah. And mortgagesrock.com. Mortgagesrock.com, the place where you can get mortgages for yourself and also loans for the people
do
that
they
you know and
website?
Care about. Mortgagesrock.com. Mortgagesrock.com. Okay. Reminders, first of all, that you can always hear a bunch of vintage Dave's Gone By episodes at theaterpod.com. That's theater with an E-R, pod.com. There are 25 episodes there. You can listen to them for free, anytime, night or day, on your computer. They sound great. Theaterpod.com. Also, don't miss Dave's Gone By on TV. Fridays, 7:30 in the morning on Woodbury Cable. That's the
Wait
regular
we're
cable.
We're taping it right now.
We're doing it on TV. Hello. Channel 20, 7:30
like
Friday mornings. Now, this past one, the sound was a little distorted, and I don't know why.
I enjoyed the sound distortion.
It's better when you can't understand what I'm actually saying. But it's a cool thing. We just take some of the old shows and newer ones, take segments of them, and you can hear them on TV while you're having your breakfast.
What
and
is better than a Friday morning? But you know, it's better than Friday mornings or Wednesday mornings.
Why is that? What's our
There's
Wednesday
another new show.
7:30 in the morning, Channel 20, Wednesday mornings, Shalom Damn it. Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour, a television miracle. If you haven't seen it so far, people who thought they hated the rabbi like this show.
It's a little bit of that stuff that gets stuck in your throat.
It's the stuff.
On TV.
Yeah. Believe it or not, and people who like the rabbi love the show. So check it out, Wednesday morning, 7:30.
And people who hate the rabbi?
Well, I said they actually like the program. It's not what they expected. It's actually gotten some really great feedback.
We thought it was going to be horrible.
So anything less than horrible is really good. A pleasant surprise. And if you can't wait until Wednesday or you don't have this particular cable vision, you can watch the first four episodes on YouTube. Well, half of the fifth episode is up there. Not the whole fifth episode is up there yet. At YouTube.com, just look for Shalom Dammit, D-A-M-M-I-T, Shalom Dammit. And I think you'll get a pleasant kick
to tell
out of
the
rabbi.
People who are waiting for gospel.
And I'm telling you, by the way, the fifth episode is the Halloween episode. It's going to be magic. It's just going to be absolutely great.
It's going to be beautiful.
Oh, beautiful, actually.
No, beautiful.
I get it, but anyway. Also, every Thursday night at 9:30 on this radio station, AM 1240 WGBB, listen to Filler Up. It's a half hour of music that I play and select. Just a little half hour of music to kill time.
So just pull up to your radio and fill her up.
Yeah, fill her up. That's the show I do Thursday nights at 9:30 on WGBB. And also, speaking of YouTube, don't forget Jeff, Charlie, and myself on Two on the Isle. We have older episodes that you can watch on YouTube anytime. Just Tube, whatever Google is called, Two on the Isle. I want to thank Joyce Weil, my beloved and delightful and wonderful wife.
Yeah, she's in Philadelphia. She can't hear you.
Yes, that's true. I want to thank, of course, Jason Grah for being a
he was wonderful.
Guest.
We love you, Jason.
Thanks also to Susan L. Schulman for helping set up that interview.
She's also wonderful, Susan.
Now, in the next weeks coming up, next week we're going to have the amazing...
Wait, I have an idea.
What?
Let's have the amazing Kreskin on.
Wow. That's prescient. That's actually... How did you see into the future like that? I'm impressed, man, because it's true. Next Sunday, the amazing Kreskin is going to be our guest. He's actually just Kreskin, but Carson dubbed him the amazing Kreskin, and the nickname stuck. So Kreskin is going to be, and he makes no bones about being, like, extraordinary powers or anything like that. He's an entertainer, and he's a tremendously entertaining
speaker.
Doesn't
he bang spoons with his mind?
That's Yuri Geller. Oh. That's the other guy. This is just Kreskin. And I think you'll find him a very big treat to listen to. That's next Sunday.
And what else is special next Sunday?
We'll also be highlighting some parts of Jeff's upcoming birthday, because Jeff will be 49 or 50. No, he's the big 50 in 2 days or two?
Tuesday, the following Tuesday.
The following Tuesday. So we're mentioning it now, but really next week we'll
send
do
all your cards, letters, and gifts to the station at WGBB.
404 Route 109, West Babylon. I don't have the zip code.
11704.
11704.
And let's tell them again, send very expensive gifts and presents and birthday cards to 404 Route 109, Babylon.
West Babylon, New York.
West Babylon.
11704. Send them care of Dave's Gone By. So, yeah, why not send Jeff a card or a letter if you like what he's doing, or a pipe bomb if you... No, I don't think you should do that. Anyway, also upcoming in the weeks ahead, Gerard Alessandrini, the creator, the brilliance behind Forbidden Broadway, and a delightful singer-songwriter named Athena Reich. Really looking forward to some of these guests coming up. Now, before we go, I want to say a couple of quick farewells to some people that we lost in show business this week.
We have to stop mispricing these people.
I know. Well, Joey Bishop, the last of the original Rat Pack, died this week.
He was hip-hopping his way up to heaven.
I think the last thing he was doing was hip-hopping, quite honestly. Not only, like, moving his flexible, dying a hip.
But Regis said, there goes Joey.
Yeah. Well, he was born in 1918. It's amazing to think people were still born that far back. Joseph Abraham Gottlieb was his actual name.
J.A.J.
And he died this past Wednesday. He was 89 years old. And he started as, really, was quoted as Sinatra's comic. He was the one Sinatra picked to kind of open for him. And then he became the Frown Prince. And
then he found Regis.
Well, his big mistake was taking on Carson, because he had a talk show that was up against Carson for about a year, and that didn't really happen for
him. Bad idea, Joey.
But his career lasted. He was in Sugar Babies for a period on Broadway for a month or two.
Was he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so many of those actors of that period did a couple of weeks in Sugar Babies.
I guess Mickey Rooney does take a vacation,
yeah.
Huh?
So, anyway... Farewell to Joey Bishop. Farewell
Mickey
also.
Mickey Rooney will filling in Joey Bishop's coffin soon.
Well, I don't know. Mickey's going pretty strong.
Well, he has his commercials with his wife.
Yeah. So, you know, she's giving him some kind of hormones or something. Anyway, I also want to say goodbye to Teresa Brewer. And I don't, unfortunately, have time to tell the Teresa Brewer story next week. I hopefully will. Well, no, it's just the fact my one brush with Teresa Brewer greatness, I'm going to tell the story badly because I'm going to tell it real quickly, is that she had a song called Music, 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 and I have a very personal relationship to that song because I was in a band, and we had various permutations of a band back... Well, it's hard to tell the story quickly. So we were paid to play at a backyard barbecue out in Long Island somewhere, but he wanted a country band.
Keyword paid.
Yeah, we were all getting paid, and we knew like 5 country songs, all by Hank Williams. And then, as the guests got progressively happier and drunker, of course, they wanted some requests. And we ended up doing Sang It, Sang It, Sang It, even though I knew only the word Sang It, Sang It, Sang It to sing. And we ended up singing some other tunes, and later on they let us do almost what we wanted. So we started doing the Reed numbers. And
how does Teresa Brewer come into?
Well, one guy, Dr., I won't say his name, but nice guy.
Gottlieb?
Nice drunken guy. Dr. T, we'll call him, was
person.
A little toasted, and he requested Teresa Brewer's Music, Music, Music. Why? And he told, he got up to the microphone, he told this story. He said, well, I was sick with a hernia operation a couple of years back. And when I was in the hospital, I had nothing else to do. So what I did was I taught myself Teresa Brewer's Music, Music, Music backwards. And he got up to the, so can you play music? And we didn't know the song. Yeah, I had heard the song, so I was faking it. I tried, stop tapping the mic. And I'm kind of trying to teach the others sort of the chords literally live on the spot. And I didn't know the chorus, so it was like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. That's all I knew. And then he, and I learned it thinking of it from him, listening to the tapes of Tupperetin Lekini, Niet Noa Dolakan, Loit Nosag Nivol, Wojnak Kism, Kism, Kism. And one of my favorite moments in all music of this doctor, the psychiatrist, singing music, music, music backwards at this party. So anyway, farewell to Teresa Brewer.
Did you ever get to tell her that?
No. No, because I never will now. But I think she's watching and listening to this program.
From never.
but
what is heaven backwards?
Never. Never. Oh, yeah, very
that's
good.
That's
God spelled backwards. So Jim Dawson, an author of pop music books, said of Teresa Brewer, I always liked her because she had laughter and the sound of rippling water in her voice. And she gave me laughter through her music, just through that story. So thank you, Teresa Brewer. And thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of Dave's Gone By.
What episode number was this?
It was 243, so we'll be back next Sunday, October 28th, with
just
a Halloween...
before my 50th birthday.
And the Kreskin episode of Dave's Gone By, number 244. Until then, don't miss your days going by.
Send your cards, letters, and birthday gifts in.
To the radio station. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you good night. Bye-bye, birdie.
And happy birthday and gone by.
Hello, listeners out in Radioland. This is Jason Graw, star of Cabaret. I know that's an oxymoron. Telling you to please tune into WGBB's Dave's Gone By.